continue to study through the book of Proverbs. We need God's wisdom for life, and especially in these last days. And God has a lot of great advice to give us. I'm thoroughly enjoying going through the book of Proverbs and letting God's wisdom unfold before my eyes. I've read them many, many, many times, and it's a joy to be teaching through the Proverbs for our benefit. Here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, it is like a father teaching his children. In fact, I've entitled the chapter, "Hear My Children." In verses 1 to 13, we find the father's counsel. In verses 14 to 19, we have two paths in life. And then in verses 20 to 27, we have the anatomy of blessings. Sometimes I look at the Proverbs and I think of, you know, a son or a daughter getting up on their dad's knee, you know, and sitting there. And the dad kind of putting his arm around them and saying, you know, I want to teach you something. I want to help you. I want to get you some advice for life. And that sitting upon the knee takes place at a very young age, continues through the elementary years, if you will, and also into the teenage years, into the college years, and they're ready for life. May I say to each and every one of us that it is very important that we never quit teaching our children, helping them, listening to them, guiding them, directing them. They need our help. They may act like they don't want our help, but just be there for them. Be a friend, be a listener, and then give them good godly advice, but always give it in love. And you know what? They may act like they're not paying attention, but they'll remember. You know why? Because the Spirit of God will impress it upon their hearts, so it will not leave. You are planting seeds in their young hearts, and you are fertilizing those seeds and watering those seeds and watching them grow. And as it's growing, it may look like, well, there's not a whole lot happening, you know. But in time, it's going to bear fruit. Why? Because His word will not return void. That's what He says. All right, Lord, let's do it. Verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. I give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom! Exclamation point. I think there's a message here. Get understanding! Exclamation point. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. The father's counsel regarding wisdom and understanding. First of all, he tells us, listen, hear, my children, to the instruction of a father. For me to teach my children, for me to guide and direct my family, I've got to first listen to God. I've got to hear His voice, and I hear His voice through His word. So I've got to become a student of God's word. I've got to study to be that workman that's not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to go to Bible study. I need to listen to tapes. I need to listen to Christian radio. I need to study God's word. I need to read good Christian books for my life. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. He says, for I give you good doctrine. This is so important, folks. Within the church, we don't want to be ignorant Christians. We don't want to be illiterate, if you will. We want to be able to read and to study and to grow and to learn and know what is solid in the Word of God. We want to eat healthy food as Christians. Jesus told Peter, he says, Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And to receive that food from God's ministers, we must recognize what is healthy food and what is just sugar, or also what is truly poison. And the only way I can do that is by asking the Spirit of God, who is going to lead me into all truth, to teach me His truth from His Word. So as I engage myself in the Word of God, I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would lead me into all truth, that I would know the truth of Your Word. Because You've warned us that there's going to be many deceivers within the church. They will be wolves in sheep's clothing. And there are others who will come along that will only propagate God's Word in a manner that it becomes just sugar to the soul. And pretty soon, you won't be healthy. It's going to have its effect on you. Have you ever seen a child with too much sugar? Maybe I should ask Deb and Ray here, as they are in charge of the children's ministry. They can tell those who've been drinking those sodas or those who've been pumping down the candy before they came to church service, because they're all over the map, you know. And what'd you eat before you came to service? Well, I had 3 candy bars. And you know, they're just bouncing off the walls and they're not making good decisions. And sometimes we as Christians, we get that way because we're not getting healthy doctrine. We're not studying the whole counsel of God's Word. It's so important that I get fed the whole counsel of God's Word. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 2 and 4, in your notes, he says, "Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He." Well, I want to learn about this God. I don't want to develop God in my own mind. Oh, I think God should be this or that or the other. If I was God, I'd be the great judge, you know, or I'd be the great lawgiver. I'd be slamming it right down on my family. Well, that's not what I read about my God. My God is merciful. His mercies are new every morning. His rain comes down and you partake of it, you drink of it. My Lord Jesus Christ is who I'm called to be like. I'm called to be like Him. A merciful and loving Savior. A wonderful what? Counselor. A wonderful counselor. In other words, people want to come to you for counsel. They say, "Ooh, that person's a Christian. I know that person over there." And you know what? Whenever I talk to them, they give me the love of God. I like listening to them. I like them talking to me about God. Some people get in their hearts and their minds that they got to be the fire and brimstone kind of person. They've always got to take everybody and dangle them over the flames of hell and you know, make them that crispy critter for a while. And think, "Oh, that might bring them to Christ." Oh, yes, we need a balance in the proclamation, the love of God, and also the righteousness of God. And yes, there is heaven, and yes, there is hell. But make sure we are balanced. Make sure we're balanced in what we teach one another, and we speak to the world, and we speak to our family, to our children. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." To instruct people through the Word of God, to teach them, to guide them, to bless them with His Word. I have nothing to give you. My words are nothing. His words are everything. His words come from heaven. He made us. He's given us the spirit and soul within inside of us. And so He wants to bless us with His Word. So I'd much rather spend a whole lot of time in His Word than me just rambling on and on and on and on and on and telling you a story about, "Oh, yesterday I did this and yesterday I did that." And you know, you just go on meandering about your own life or meandering about stories. I want to give you the Word of God. God's Word is going to change my life It's going to change your life. In Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Sometimes I must use the word of God in sound biblical doctrine to fight against the lies of the enemy. There may be particular cults and people have been deceived. And so I take the word of God and I go to war against these demonic spirits who have proclaimed seducing doctrines that have led people away from the truth of Jesus Christ. I may be battling with the Mormon doctrine. Not with the Mormon person, but with the doctrine itself. The Mormon person has been deceived. They've been tricked. They've been duped by a demon who came to a gentleman named Joseph Smith many years ago and gave him these writings of the Book of Mormon through the angel Moroni. And so what we want to do is we want to reach them for Christ. We don't want to sit there and go, "Oh, you're a Mormon, get out of here," kind of a thing, you know. No, we want to, they're deceived. Can you imagine if they would come to the truth of Jesus Christ and then begin to pedal their bicycles house to house telling people about the true Jesus of the Bible? How wonderful that would be. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses and their Watchtower magazines and all their teachings, you know, their New World Translation. If we could just get to them and say, you know what, here's the true translation. Here's the Word of God. Jesus is God's Son. He is God in the flesh. He's come to save you from your sins. 144,000 are the Jewish people. That's not Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Acts that we're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, not of Jehovah. Jehovah's Witnesses, get into the New Testament already. Get saved. But to lead them to Christ, how exciting. What a thrill. I was talking to someone just last week, and they told me how they'd come out of the Jehovah's Witness religion, and now they're a Christian. I go, all right. Had the opportunity today. One of our sisters had brought her parents to church earlier today. Her mother is 76 years old and her father's 91. We said the sinner's prayer in my office for both of their hearts. What a thrill. I couldn't, oh Lord, you're so good. It was easy. They were ready, you know. They said, yes, we believe. And what do we need to do? Oh, well, let's just say the sinner's prayer. All right, let's go. Man, what we find here is that we need to have good doctrine for our lifestyle. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Titus chapter 2. What does that mean? Doctrine that creates a lifestyle. It's the doctrine of God is manifested in our life before this world and within the church. Titus is in the middle of your New Testament. You have 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and then Titus. After Titus is Hebrews. So if you find, you know, Philemon and Hebrews, then you're there real close to Titus. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, listen to what Paul the Apostle writes to us about the value of a lifestyle of Christian doctrine. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, be reverent, be temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children." I always found that to be fascinating. Why is it the older women need to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children? Us men may already know, because sometimes we're a real pain in the neck. And sometimes the older women have to teach the younger women, says, I know, I've been there. Hang in there with him. Keep praying for him. Keep loving him. And sometimes your children, as you're raising them, they can be a pain in the neck also. And sometimes you need that encouragement from someone who's already gone down that pathway. So God is telling us that you ladies who've been through this, help the younger ladies. Bless their lives. Encourage them. He says, teach them to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. And then what's it say? In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. He says, exhort bondservants. I always put here employees. Exhort employees, encourage employees to be obedient to their employers, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In the job, in the workplace, we can rob by being late to work, by not working at work, by taking extra breaks, by yakking on the phone about things that have nothing to do with our job, messing around on the computer and has nothing to do with our job, or actually stealing from our employers when we do that. So God says, honor me in a doctrine, in a lifestyle that says, this is my doctrine of life, this is what I do, this is who I am. Honor by doing the right things in life. We also discovered that the older men are to teach the younger men to have a pattern of good works, integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech. I think one thing that happens to men in their lives is we have a tendency to be overbearing, to be too critical, trying to fit that macho role, so to speak. Not that we want to be, you know, cream puffs or anything, but you don't want to be one who's overly demanding, one who's a controller, got to be in control of everything. Where are you today, honey? What are you doing right now? You know, what do you mean you're going to be 10 minutes late? Well, who are you at? Okay, yeah. Stop already. And then you've got your children lining up like little soldiers at the age of 4 and 3 and 2, you know, whatever. Where have you guys been doing? Get over here, line up. Don't look that way. What's wrong with you? Oh, I'm 4 years old. I don't care if you're 4 years old. You should be an adult already. Ay, ay, ay. Let me say something else. It's important that you protect your children from one another. You must teach them to share. You must teach them to say they're sorry. You must teach them to forgive. You must teach them to love one another. Oh, if I do that, you know, they're going to grow up and be a, I'll say cream puff again. I had another term, but I won't use it. Because if you don't protect the little ones from each other, they're going to get angry at you as they grow up. Because they're looking for you for security, safety, and fairness within the family. Many times the younger ones get picked on by the older ones. And they get really angry inside because you as the parent are not taking care of them. And it will reflect in their behavior on a daily basis. And you wait till they become teenagers, you're in for a tornado. Just a little advice. Sound doctrine, sound speech, incorruptibility, reverence. We've got to teach. You have to take time to teach. Turn off the television. Be a part of their lives. Involve yourself in their lives. Go back to the book of Proverbs. So vitally important. The advice we get is that he gives us good doctrine. Don't forsake his law. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. In other words, that advice, the advice that I give you will help you to live a good life. Get wisdom, get understanding, he says. That means you've got to make a decision to go get it. Wisdom just doesn't fall on you like out of the clear blue. You know, you're just sitting there like, hey, I'm one wise dude. He says you got to get it. That comes by reading, by studying, by listening. Get understanding. In other words, how to apply that which I have learned. To put it to use in my life as a Christian believer. Put it to work in my life in business. To put it to work in my marriage and in my family. I've got to get understanding. As I get the wisdom of God, I've got to make it work in my life. Practical application. But if I never get wisdom, I can't apply anything. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. It's like a relationship, man. Are you noticing this? It's like, you know, love wisdom. love this understanding. Love her, man. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in your in all you're getting, get understanding. Can I give advice to you young people here? I know probably a lot of them are over there in the youth fellowship, but there's some of you here. Be a sponge in life. That doesn't mean you soak everybody for all they got, meaning their money, but soak off their knowledge. Soak from their experience. They've gone through probably many schools of hard knocks. Draw from them. I remember as a young person sitting around the table, you know, at dinner time, and then after dinner, and everybody would hang out in my house, my family members. You know, I was the youngest of the family. And being the youngest, you're kind of the dumbest, you know, just because you don't have experience. But one thing, I don't know why, but I would sit there and I'd listen to all the conversations. And I listened to my brother-in-law, who was 13 years older than I, you know, married my oldest sister, and he would come and he was learning the business of business, you know, making money and being successful. And my dad was a successful businessman as a pharmacist. He had 3 drugstores that he had created and owned and worked and managed and so forth, and very successful businessman, real go-getter. And I would sit there as a little guy and just listen to him and my brother-in-law banter back and forth about business and investment and doing this and doing that. And that was our life. Christian faith wasn't at our home at that time. But I remember just drawing from all that stuff. And I would ask my brother-in-law questions as I would get older. I'd ask my dad questions as I get older about business and what to do and how things. My dad was funny. He always says, "Son, it's all about percentages. I'm telling you, it's percentages. Everything is based on percentages." Like, okay, Dad, what percent? 33 and a third. You got to make 33 and a third. I'm telling you. Okay, Dad, okay. But it was funny. You learn all these things from your parents. Just sitting there listening and soaking it in. And then there'll be other people in life who come into your life who are successful in other areas, whether it be successful Christians or successful business people, successful marriages. And you sit there and you draw from them. You go, "Oh, I want to learn from you." But if we get this attitude of, "Oh, I know everything. You can't tell me." You're dead in the water, man. You're history. Man, I am still learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. I hope I never stop. I'm still a sponge. A good one, I hope. Listen, learn from people. Stay humble, okay? There's always new stuff to learn. And learn good things, holy things, righteous things. He says, get this sound wisdom. Verses 5 to 9, it says, exalt her and she will promote you. Verse 8, she will bring you honor. Listen to what wisdom does for us, okay? Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Now listen, what does wisdom do for us when we get this sound wisdom? Well, he says, we know that we get wisdom from his word. God's wisdom will, number one, preserve us, he says. He says it will promote you, number two. Number three, it will honor you. Number four, it will grace you. Number five, it will glorify you. Number six, it will deliver you. Wow, all that if I just seek God's wisdom through his word? Yeah. Read his word, digest it, partake of it. Let it become a part of your life. And then in verses 10 to 13, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Practical wisdom, practical understanding. Receive God's words and receive long life is what he says. God says to live morally. Could that help me to live a long life? Yeah. It'll keep you from getting diseases if you live morally. Meaning, you know, venereal diseases and all that stuff. Hey, it'll keep you. It'll protect you if you live according to his word. Don't be an alcoholic. Don't be a drunkard. Don't sit there be drinking all that booze. It's going to get you one day. You know, people smoke cigarettes. That's up to them. But it may get you one day. I'm just telling you. You know, it's not going to keep you out of heaven. You may get there sooner than everybody else, but I had my grandfather died of cancer. He was smoked like a chimney. He smoked those, I think it was Camel cigarettes. Those babies were brutal. And I remember watching him as a little guy, smoking, like every breath was a cigarette in his mouth. And as a little guy, I didn't think anything about it. You know, this is how people live. But man, when I saw him die of cancer, I was about 6 years old. Saw him in the coffin. His body was emaciated from cancer. One of his eyes had gone wacko and everything. Man, it was the most grotesque thing I ever saw in my life, there in that casket. It wasn't my grandpa. And at that point in time, I said, you know what? I'm never going to smoke. It so impacted me. And then with drinking, do you know people who have died in a car accident because of drunkenness? It's sad. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. Yeah, right. You know what? And let me ask you something else. What's the example you're setting for your children? When I became a Christian, I just made a decision. You know what? I don't want to have booze in the home. I wasn't a pastor or anything like that. Just became a Christian, that's all. And I knew one time it had a grip on my life. So I said, you know what? Why do I want to keep bringing this stuff into my house? I'm old enough. I can drink it if I want. Well, why do I want to keep bringing this stuff in my house if it had a grip on my life at one time? And I did a lot of stupid things under the influence of alcohol. And why would I want it to be in my house that it might influence my children as they get older? I don't need it. Give me a Gatorade, you know? Give me a Coke. Give me a 7-Up, whatever. What do I want that booze in my house for? And you know what else? I save money. I don't go out there and buy all that stuff. That's me. You make your own decision. Get wisdom. Get practical understanding. He says it'll prolong your life. It'll promote you. It'll honor you. It'll grace you. It'll glorify you. Deliver you. That's what wisdom does. And this understanding for life, he says, hear my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. All right. When I walk, my steps will not be hindered. In other words, I'm going to walk in the way of God. I don't want to walk as a prideful jerk. You know, I've met guys, I got to confess here. Well, I'm not confessing that. I'm just saying reality-wise. I've met guys who can't get a job. You know why they can't get a job and they can't even keep a job? Because they can't take orders from anybody. Nobody tells me what to do. Who are you to talk to me like that? I'm out of here. And your family starves. Hey, you're the tough guy, huh? You're so tough, you're a knucklehead. Sad. Because you can't humble yourself and work for somebody else. If you're so smart, where's your business? Where are you taking care of? How are you taking care of everything? You know what I'm saying? Come on already. But I met guys like this. They can't work for anybody. Because they're so full of themselves, nobody can tell them what to do. Sad stuff. This is why I love Proverbs, man. It gets down to nitty gritty. I love it. Kind of just whap, whap. Yeah, give me more, Lord. I need it. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5-7, regarding our walk, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, let's walk in the light. Let's do the right things in life. Let's walk according to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his ways? His ways are humble ways. His ways are loving ways. His ways are forgiving ways. His ways are merciful and full of grace. Let's walk in that way. We walk as children of the light. And what happens? Our steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. Let's cast aside every weight of sin so that we can run full speed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Running with the Lord. What's hindering you tonight from running with the Lord Jesus Christ? What weight of sin is on your ankles that you're not running properly? Think about it. Lord, I don't want to have any weights around my sin, my sins, my legs, my ankles. I want these sins to be removed. What is your sin that's causing you not to run in the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to run for the joy that was set before him. The joy was you and me, that he would save us and change our hearts and our lives, and we run with Christ. I love it. Go to verse 14. Let's go to section 2. There are two paths in life, the writer of Proverbs says. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Young people, there's going to be people who want to draw you into their sinful lives. And older people, the same thing. They want to draw you in. You young ladies, there may be some guy who's going to come along, and you know he's not a Christian, and he's going to start sweet-talking you and saying all these nice things. And pretty soon he says, come lie with me, you know, kind of a thing. Hey, if you really love me, you'll have sex with me. Hey, if you really love me, you'll wait, and you'll be committed to me in marriage. He doesn't love you. He loves sex. That's what it's all about. Be careful. Watch out. He says, don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. In other words, they're plotting, they're planning, they're trying to figure out, you know, I have this lifestyle that I perform, that I live, and I want others to join me. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day, until we go home to be with the Lord. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They keep falling and messing up and falling and messing up. Why? Because their heart's full of darkness. They're full of bitterness, full of anger. They're full of envy. They're full of jealousy. They're full of hatred. It's their life. And hopefully they'll meet Jesus Christ and can all be removed. Jesus talks about if you would just for a moment quickly turn to Luke 18. He talks about the religious right and wrong. We have two paths, the pathway of the righteous versus the pathway of the wicked. And here we find the right way and the wrong way when it comes to our religious life. In Luke's Gospel chapter 18, beginning with verse 9, look at what it says. Jesus spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. This guy was full of himself, self-righteousness. And the tax collector, the poor guy from the IRS, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you know that you're a sinner? You're a saved sinner if you're a Christian, but you're still a sinner. You're no better than anybody else on this planet. You're only going to get to heaven because of Jesus. That's the only reason. The Bible says there's not one good thing to be found in us. And once you come to realize that, you'll start walking humbly with your God. But if you think you're something, and God's so lucky to have you, you're like the first guy, that religious dude, messed up. Secondly, there's this religious right and wrong. There's also a relational right and wrong. Turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise. Be merciful, be loving, be kind to your fellow man." That's the pathway of the righteous. That's the one that will shine bright like the sun. Go to God and recognize that you're a sinner, and recognize that you need him every single day of your life. You'll shine brightly like the sun. Go back to Proverbs. Let's wrap up the chapter. Finally, we have the anatomy of blessings. Verses 20 to 27. "My son, give attention to my words." Do you ever have your dad say, "Pay attention"? I remember my dad as a little guy, when I wasn't listening and he was working with us, we're doing something in the yard. We had about 1.25 acres. And we'd always go out there on the weekends, work Saturdays and Sundays in the yard. But boy, when I wasn't paying attention, he'd reach over to me and just take his middle finger and go, "Son!" "Pay attention!" Now, I never did that to my kids. I didn't like it when my dad did it to me. But I tell you what, he did get my attention, you know, a little thump on the head. "Pay attention to my words. Listen. Incline your ear to my sayings." The anatomy of blessings. "Put your ear to my sayings. Listen. Do not let them depart from your eyes." Your eyes, your ears and your eyes. Be looking, because I want to have the anatomy of blessings. "Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Okay, it's going to be health to my flesh. If I keep my ears open, my eyes open to God, I stay in his word, it's going to be health to my flesh. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep my heart, that's part of my anatomy. "With all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Okay, Lord. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, don't be a liar, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet." That's part of me too. My mouth, my heart, my flesh, my eyes, my ears, my feet. "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." The anatomy of blessing. Lord, I want all that your word has for my life. I want to hear you. I want to see with your eye. I want to hear with your ears. I want to see with your eyes. I want health to my flesh. I want to have your heart. It's interesting, he says that our heart needs to be diligent, a diligent heart. In other words, sometimes as you grow up, you want it all now. I want to be a millionaire at 25, you know, and you get frustrated. Whether you're a young lady married to that young guy, I want what my parents have now already. I want to have it, you know, before we're 30. I want it now. Well, your parents have been working 20, 30 years already for what they have. Be patient. Now I'm going to go find me a man who's got, you know, that car. He's got that house. He's got that money. That nothing but trouble. With our ears, we need to take time to listen to God. Matthew 7, 24, 27 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," Jesus says, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." I want to be a wise man. I want to hear the words of Jesus, and I want to practice them. I want to do them. For my eyes, I want to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest, that he send out laborers into his harvest.'" I want to look out and see the world with compassion. We want to reach them for Christ. We want to pray to the Lord that he use us and others in reaching the world for Christ. We want to have the eyes of the Lord looking at the world. It's white for harvest. We want to tell the world about Jesus and invite them to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. "For the flesh, to have healthy flesh, we must feed upon the word of God. Jesus said, he said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Peter said, 'As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.' For the heart, we need to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Jesus said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. With the mouth and lips, Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And for the feet, Romans 10:15. And how shall we preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We need to have feet that are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the world about Jesus Christ. You know, our human body, our anatomy is an amazing thing. We breathe. I was reading this book by Dr. Richard Swenson. He's a medical doctor. He's written a book that's entitled More Than Meets the Eye, Fascinating Glimpses of God's Power and Design. He writes this about our breathing. He says, we breathe 23,000 times per day and 630 million times over an average lifespan. With each inhalation, we breathe 10 to the 22nd molecules, more than a billion trillion with each lungful. This amounts to 22 pounds of air per day. And no, that is not why your bathroom scale reads heavier. He says, as marvelous as the lungs are, God has mixed in a few other tricks almost as a sideshow for our entertainment. Did you know, and I'll end here, something for you to really take home and tell your children. Did you know that the average speed of a sneeze is 68 miles per hour? You didn't know that, did you? Each sneeze can contain as many as 5,000 droplets that can travel as far as 12 feet. You can tell your kids this. This will really help them out in life. The highest speed of sneeze expelled droplets is 104 miles per hour. Man, I'm running if you start to sneeze. The longest sneezing fit ever recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records is 977 days. That's a lot of sneezing. So let me tell you, if you're up around 900 days sneezing, here's wisdom. You know that 977 is record. Plan on just keep on sneezing until 978. You'll be in the record. The longest recorded bout of hiccups is 68 years. Bummer. The lung cilia that sweep the mucus up the trachea, the lung's escalator, vibrate 1,000 times per minute. God's glorious creation. Let's have an anatomy of blessing, amen? No need to sneeze and hiccup. Let's just go for it. Let's pray.